Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the Hoosier Report here on the Big X Sports Radio. Glad to have you with us today. Let's jump right into it. A look at the guest lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham, what we're going to try to accomplish in this hour with who's going to join us. Segment one, we've got our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And today, IU football last night unveiled the new football complex, Terry Tallon Football Complex, which includes a locker room and a number of other amenities for the players and just team as a whole and the coaches as well. First-class stuff. There are some videos, there are some player reaction videos, which obviously really cool to see them get a chance to see their new home where they're going to spend a lot of time, and we'll talk about that in the headlines coming up here in just a second, how that, in a very positive way, affects the IU football program. Also, speaking of not positive, really surprised yesterday, there was a list of college coaches that Yahoo Sports writer Pete Thamel released that are on the hot seat for this 2019 football season. There are some obvious coaches, obviously, as you look across the country that need to do some things, need to accomplish some things at some big, powerful college football programs this year. But I'm not sure Tom Allen is somebody on a hot seat, but we can talk about that. And nonetheless, Thamel has him on the hot seat, at least his list of other coaches, once he mentioned Southern California and a couple other major players on the hot seat this year, depending on how they do, how they lead their team. So that's interesting. I haven't seen that. I don't know that I think he's in a great – Coach Allen is in a great position, but he's recruited well. One would think that there is still a future for him, no matter even if this year tanks a bit beyond this season. But we're going to talk about that today in our headline segment and later also. In the headlines, a couple basketball notes. Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's with us on Thursdays. He updated his Big Ten power rankings on the Inside the Hall website and has IU up one spot from where he had them in the first release in this offseason, looking at the Big Ten Conference for next season. So we'll mention that. And a little tidbit, I saw the NCAA, the March Madness account, tweet out something about most March Madness wins in the NCAA tournament, and Indiana on that list in the top five, six, seven or so. We'll talk about that coming up as well. And also a quick look ahead for just a moment at the week one high school football. We'll do all of that and more in the first segment today. Later in the program, Dustin Dopierak of the Athletic website, he's going to join us today in place of Jeff Rabjohns. With Dustin, we'll talk some IU basketball off-season headlines. We'll kind of look at the roster and some of the returning players, some of the newcomers, and how things mix for next season, and where Dustin sees this Indiana team at this point of the way, way early preseason, you could call it, with the teams obviously still just doing work at their campus privately before any of the preseason stuff gets underway, where he has Indiana and the Big Ten Conference and Purdue as well. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for the Athletics. So Dustin Dopierak with us later in the program today. Then Craig Pearson, he's the sports editor of the News and Tribune. He always joins me on Wednesdays as we talk about local sports headlines. High school football is just around the corner. Craig has been out doing some interesting stuff with Clarksville and how they are really working to rebuild their athletic program, and their high school football team has lost a number of games in a row. I think it's 44 or 45 games in a row. But there's some light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not just with their football program where they're putting some big strides and big gains. So we'll talk about that coming up a little bit later with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. That's the guest lineup for this Wednesday show, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget, you can go there and mention the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison, and you'll receive $1 off your box lunch at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's look at some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. And big stuff yesterday for IU football. The Terry Tallon Football Complex was unveiled to IU football players last night. I think it was later in the evening, maybe 7:30, 8 o'clock or so. The facility, a donation from Terry Tallon, includes a new locker room, a number of other amenities as well, team room, recruiting area, training room, coaches' locker rooms, and Terry Tallon, a former IU football player, former team captain, a $2 million gift from him to put toward this project, which really improves the situation where the players are, I don't want to say house, but where they spend a lot of time when they're on the football complex. I mean, this is, you look at the photos and the videos from last night, this is first-class stuff. I mean, absolutely on the same line as IU basketball's facility upgrades with their locker rooms, team rooms, and things like that that recently took place. Big stuff for IU, who's recruiting well right now under Coach Allen, but needs any bump it can get to compete with others in the Big Ten Conference and others that they are going against on a regular basis as far as players go. The complex, it's underneath the West bleachers, the West grandstand at Memorial Stadium, and it's over 25,000 feet is what has been improved for this IU football program. So some really good stuff. Probably the best thing, I mean, obviously looking at the facilities is really cool, seeing how nice they are, how well laid out they are, just modern, everything about them nice. But probably the neatest thing is the video of the players, their reaction to seeing the facility. They get excited and sing the school song, which was pretty cool. And you can follow a lot of that on IU football and their Twitter account. That's where they posted a lot of this stuff about the new facility last night. But for a random Tuesday night with the season approaching, pretty cool stuff to see IU football get some major, major improvements in their facilities just in time for this upcoming season to take advantage of those in the games for the current players. They'll be able to showcase them this season to the recruits coming in. I'm sure they've told some of the recruits a lot about it. Now they can see it with their own eyes, and it definitely all the way around is big stuff for the IU football program. I mentioned maybe an interesting or a not-so-positive topic about IU football. Pete Thamel of Yahoo Sports with a little video clip, a video interview he did with somebody from Yahoo Sports yesterday that's kind of making its rounds. He calls out a number of coaches, some probably you could guess if you follow college football closely, others might surprise you a bit, that he this is just his prediction on college football coaches at the Power Five conferences that are on the hot seat for this season. And so watching the video, it starts with the coach at Southern California, and obviously there's issues there, not just with the football coach, but maybe even the athletic director, and we know some issues with the basketball program there previous with the recruiting scandal as well. So no surprise to see that. There's a lot going on right now at USC. But I was surprised as he worked his way through some other Division I coaches in Power Five conferences that Tom Allen got a mention, that this is a big season for him. He needs to lead the Hoosiers to some success if he wants to keep his job. And again, this is just Pete Thamel's opinion. This is no one saying this is factual, but it did catch me a little off guard. I think there's still tons of room for improvement for IU football, but obviously with the way Tom Allen has recruited, and generally the program has kind of held steady. I don't know that it's made some advancements you would like to see, but I will be surprised if Indiana doesn't take, I'm not sure this year, maybe some small steps forward this year, but in the advance of this season, some bigger steps with some of the recruits coming in. So, I mean, it's football at Indiana. If you want to be realistic about it, the coach is going to have time to get players in, to change not just the team and some of the direction of the program, but also just to get his just to build the stature of the program as well, and the locker room and improvements like that. Those are all things that not only really a coach can control himself, but is a big part of, and those things help moving forward. So I don't know that I agree with that. Curious what you guys think, and curious what some of the guests that'll be on our show today and in the future days this week think as far as Tom Allen and his being on the hot seat for IU football. But that did catch me at least a little off guard yesterday when Pete Thamel's list came out of some Division I coaches who are on the hot seat, at least in his opinion, for this season. Switching to basketball, a couple quick notes. Alex Bozich inside the hall. He's always with us on Thursdays, does a great job covering IU, and he really does a good job profiling the Big Ten Conference throughout the offseason with some of the departures in the spring, then you know more in the summer sometimes. So he's done an early update, power rankings in the offseason version 2 that came out earlier this morning. And in his previous power rankings, his first of the offseason that came out back later in the spring, he had Indiana at the number 9 spot. With the update today, he bumps Indiana down a spot to the number 8 spot, so a little improvement. Again, this is Alex's opinion on the conference. A lot of the power rankings and the Big Ten rundowns that we've seen to date have had Indiana somewhere 9, 10. Indiana at the 8 spot on the Inside the Hall site may be the highest that they've been so far. And again, there are going to be a ton of conference predictions coming out. There are going to be a ton of preseason rankings coming out very soon in all the publications. And I love to talk about them. I'll mention almost every one of them that I can find on the program. But again, these are just opinions of publications or of people that can cover Indiana. But when it comes to Alex and Jeff Rabjohns and others that we have on this program, they obviously see the Big Ten up close and personal. They're not just looking at things from last year, looking at results and standings and departures and additions from last year. They see these teams play at Indiana when Indiana plays at the other schools. So I pay a little bit more attention to what they think as far as how they size up the Big Ten Conference in the offseason. And again, Alex has Indiana at number 8. If you're curious, number 1 in Alex's power rankings, Michigan State, Ohio State number 2, Maryland 3, Purdue 4, Michigan 5, Illinois is 6, Wisconsin 7, Indiana 8. He has Penn State, Iowa, Minnesota, Rutgers in that, and Nebraska and Northwestern in that order, following Indiana in the number 8 spot. This is just a fun note to kind of close out our headlines today. NCAA March Madness account. They've really got to work in the offseason to keep pumping out some pretty interesting content. They have all sorts of things going on this time of the year as far as records and taking a look back at some classic matchups and things like that. But they did tweet out earlier today the most March Madness wins, the most March Madness W's. Of course, Indiana on the list. They're not at the top, but number 7 with 66 postseason wins is what the Indiana program has. Moving up from the 7 spot, Michigan State, number 6, they have 69 victories in postseason play. Then you go to number 5 and you get over the 100 mark with UCLA, 101 victories in the NCAA tournament. Kansas is 4th. 107 victories, really no surprise for some of these schools as you move toward the top. Duke, 114 wins, number 3. North Carolina has 126 wins at number 2. And can you guess who number 1 is? Kentucky, they have 129 postseason victories. But Indiana on there, top 7 on the list of most March Madness wins. Also, a quick look at week 1 of high school football. We are 1 week and a half week away, so 1.5 weeks away from the official start of the 2019 high school football season. We'll talk some high school football, I'm sure, later in this show with Craig Pearson of the News and Tribune. But the schedule for week 1 is really good. We had a great chance to hear from coaches, learn from coaches last week out at Zaxby's for our 2019 high school football media day. One of the games on August 23rd that really stands out, and we talked with both of these coaches back-to-back actually on our media day program. If you want to go back and listen to the podcast, you can hear from both coaches and players of Charlestown and Silver Creek. But Charlestown will play at Silver Creek in week 1. That game is going to have all kind of attention locally. They're billing it as the Battle of 403, meaning the Battle of Highway 403 that basically meets right up with the property of Silver Creek Schools and runs straight out almost directly into Charlestown High School. That's going to be an interesting game. There's all sorts of connections between the two programs and two schools, Charlestown, that looks, I would believe, to have a very good year in the area. Silver Creek lost a lot last year. They're trying to put some key pieces back in place, including a new head coach and Coach Pappenhaus. But that's a game that obviously on week one that will be interesting, a game that we will follow very closely. Another game is Floyd Central at Male. And by no means do I think anybody expect Floyd Central to go across the river and beat Male, but this could be a Floyd Central team that could compete with Male. There have been some lopsided scores at times in that series, and that is such a big challenge for Floyd Central, especially to open up the season against one of the top teams year in and year out in Louisville, one of the top public schools in the state of Kentucky as well. But a big challenge for Floyd Central at Male in week one. The other game, Fern Creek at Jeffersonville. I don't know a lot about Fern Creek. Don't know a lot about Jeffersonville either. They've got some players back. They've got some new additions. They've got some returning players. And, of course, a new head coach as well. That is going to be an interesting game to follow. Three that stand out to me in week one. Also, Evansville-Harrison at New Albany on week one. Providence is at Bardstown-Bethlehem. Clarksville is at Scottsburg. Could the Generals get a victory? 44-45 losses in a row. We'll talk about that later in the show with Craig Pearson. And Rock Creek is at Oldenburg Academy. That rounds out the week one high school football schedule. And again, most teams, if not all teams, have a scrimmage on Friday. It's a controlled scrimmage. They really don't keep a score necessarily, or at least a total score for the scrimmage. But then after the scrimmage Friday, it's regular season football. Week one of the high school season will be underway, and our coverage on the Big X Sports Radio will be around the area for sure. We're going to tell you more about our coverage coming up later this week, and we'll be promoting it next week as well. I already told you that earlier Monday on our program, we made an announcement that every Monday here, starting with after the August 23rd start to the high school football season, whatever that next Monday is, we will debut our Big X, the Hoosier Report High School Athlete of the Week, presented by Sir Nano's Pizza Parlor in Sellersburg. We'll be naming a top performer. A lot of football players, could be somebody from another sport as well from time to time. We'll continue that into the basketball season and winter sports, and even through the spring as well with high school baseball, high school softball, and other sports. But each week we'll have a winner, and the winner gets a free 14-inch pizza from Sir Nano's and a lot of other publicity that comes along with that award on social media. There'll be a commercial, a promo that'll run throughout the week here on the Big X, recognizing that athlete and the school and what they accomplished to win the Athlete of the Week award. So we're really looking forward to the start of the football season. We're really looking forward to Sir Nano's involvement with our Athlete of the Week, and looking forward to some other announcements about how we are going to cover high school football this year and some of the extra things we're going to do. Kickoff show before, scoreboard show after, with the coaches on both to get you prepped for the action, and then, of course, cover it throughout the night and wrap it up for you on the scoreboard show. We'll have more details forthcoming again later this week, and we'll be promoting it all next week. But lots of football coverage coming up here over the next few weeks, really over the next few months, on the Big X Sports Radio. That's the headlines for this Wednesday edition of the program. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with more, including Dustin Dopierek of The Athletic. We'll talk IU basketball headlines for next season, the roster for next season, and where Dustin sees IU in the mix for the Big Ten Conference coming up after this on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Wednesday program, the opportunity to talk some IU basketball with Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Dustin covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic in their college basketball coverage. Dustin, great to have you back with us. It's been a while.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Let's start with some recruiting stuff, which is common for this time of year, especially after Indiana has added two in-state players, in the 2020 class here over the last few weeks. Your opinion, your thoughts on the addition of Trey Galloway and Anthony Leal to this IU program for 2020. And also, I mean, we've talked a lot about this on the show, but your opinion of the job Archie Miller has done and continues to do when he talks about inside-out recruiting and locking down the state's borders.
Yeah, no, I think these were two, I think, really important gets for them. And I think they're just really foundational players, I think. You sort of look at the board, it's not the best, as far as the way, where guys are ranked. I mean, it's not the most highly ranked class that you've seen come through Indiana, but I think they got the two guys that fit them best. I really like Galloway's game. I think he's criminally underrated. Just the versatility he's got. He reminds me a lot of a Will Sheehy in the sense that he can guard a lot of positions. He's tough. He's athletic. He can finish at the rim. He can shoot it well enough. I don't know that he's going to be a great shooter, but it kind of reminds me of a Will Sheehy type shooter. Of a guy that might not hit 40% from three, but might be there around 33, 34, 35, be able to stretch the defense enough, but it can, really slash really well. But again, play defense, rebound, just do a lot of things and be really versatile. But they had to get real shooting, so they got Leal, a guy that could be just terrific, from a spot up situation, could hit off the dribble. I think Leal's improved his game as well, just to be, kind of expand, getting better at being able to get to the rim, score that way. I mean, he can post you up. There's a bunch of different ways he can score the basketball. I think he's getting better defensively as well. Two guys that are teammates on Indiana Elite, they're really good friends, so I think that helps chemistry. So they, they're getting four guys in this class, and I think it was important to get those two guys, from the state to kind of set a foundation for what this class is going to be. It sets them up nice. Now I think they have to, you mentioned inside out. I mean, he's Archie Miller's done a really good job of doing that, of, getting the last two, Indiana Mr. Basketballs in Romeo Langford and then Trace Jackson Davis, getting Rob Finnessy in there, getting Armand Franklin. He's made sure that he's getting maybe not every great player that's coming out of the state every year, but definitely, making sure that's the foundation for what he's doing. Now, at this point, really the best players in this 2020 class are already picked over, basically. So, Indiana obviously got their piece of it, and that was really important. But now you've got to go out of state, basically. I think, Jaden Ivey's already signed. Kieran Powell just went. Nigel Pack, DeAndre Davis. So basically, it's like most of the best guys that are going to be able to come and make an impact in the state are already committed someplace. So, Indiana's got it too. Now they've got to be able to go out of state to get the players to fill up this class. I think Archie Miller looks at this 2020 class as really important. He needs, I think, a big-time player from out of state, a Caleb Love or somebody like that, to really make a splash in this class. But I think it was really important to set the foundation by getting these two in-state guys.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic. You can find out more at theathletic.com and by following Dustin, at Dustin Dopierak, that's D-O-P-I-R-A-K, on Twitter. One more recruiting note. We talk about inside out, the state of Indiana, the job that Archie Miller has done, and of course Romeo Langford, to me, a signature recruit, a one and done in Archie Miller's time in Bloomington so far. Trace Jackson Davis, also a big name, a McDonald's All-American, and another one that has the potential, I think, to go on and have a great career at Indiana, and see if he's there for 4 years or how many years he may be there. That said, there's now that Archie Miller has the 2020 class in state, at least, in hand with Leal and Galloway, the pressure, I think, reaches an all new level, because instead of saying, wow, Archie has done really well in the state, maybe he could miss a player or two and still have a good record in the state of Indiana, you look, Dustin, at some of these future classes, the 2021 class and the class behind that one as well. They are loaded with players of high major interest and guys that are nationally ranked and guys from the southern Indiana part of the state down where we're at, all the way up north with Caleb First and others. There are just a number of big-time prospects making their way through high school basketball right now in the state as underclassmen. So he's got two in 2020. He's had a lot of success before this 2020 class, but really 2021 and 2022, the pressure doesn't stop to keep some of the best in state for IU and Coach Miller.
No, absolutely. And what gets tougher, I think, Ben, is he's got to win to prove to those guys that that's where they need to go. I mean, if you're Christian Lander or Caleb First, like you mentioned, in 2021, you're not jumping on board if you think that Archie's not going to be there at the end of your career. So basically, he's got to prove that he can win. I think, you know, when you get a Romeo, that's the first guy you've got to go get. You're new. You don't, you know, you have a track record of winning elsewhere. You haven't really hurt yourself as far as, you know, what you've done at Indiana yet. And, you know, Jackson Davis was signed before this season, obviously. So he didn't see them end up in the NIT before he commits. So now he's walking around there with a track record. And I think, you know, like Leland Galloway are very, very important, you know, but Leo, I think he's like 80th, 90th, somewhere in that vicinity, but he's a Bloomington kid, and Trey Galloway is a highly underrated kid. I mean, and I think Galloway would have gone to Purdue if they didn't get Ethan Morton first, you know, so they were still kind of in decent shape to get those guys. If you don't win, it becomes really harder to get guys coming out of the state that are blue chip quality, that are, you know, top 20, top 30, top 40 kids. So the pressure does go up that you have to win and prove them. They should prove to them that they need to come play for you, basically, because they're going to be able to win in college if they do play for you. So that is really the issue there, and that's really going to determine basically how, you know, ultimately how much success Archie Miller has. Is he able to win enough to convince those guys to go there? If he's not winning and he's not getting those guys, you know, then you can get yourself in a downward spiral pretty fast. So, I mean, that's, I think, a really key issue there, is being able to prove to those blue chip classes that are coming down the pike in 21 and 22 that you know, one, he's going to be there, and two, that they're going to be able to win with him.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of TheAthletic.com. Let's get into IU. Great stuff on recruiting. Let's get into IU for this upcoming 2019-2020 season. Lots of talk. I mentioned earlier a power ranking of the Big Ten Conference at this way early point of the preseason, still in the off season. Where does Dustin Dopierak, where do you have IU in your probably way too early list of the Big Ten Conference for this season, knowing who's back and knowing a lot about the new faces?
I think I put it, I know I did one in April, and I think I put him in the 20, in the 9-10 range, something like that. I mean, there's just so many moving parts to this team in terms of what they could be. You know, I think there's a big difference between ceiling and floor with this group, so you're kind of just throwing a dart and guessing. But, you know, a lot rides on, okay, how, you know, what is Trace Jackson Davis ready to be? You know, I mean, I think he'll probably start. At the end of the day, I mean, I imagine he will beat out Justin Smith to start at the power forward spot. But is he ready to be the best player? You know, is he ready to be a, you know, all Big Ten type of guy? Maybe not first team, but second or third team level player, you know, and be, you know, compete for Big Ten Freshman of the Year. Is he going to be a guy that's going to be the focal point in the offense? I think he's certainly going to produce. You know, right away. I mean, I think he's got a more Big Ten ready body than you know, a lot of big men that come through. You know, a lot of skill, but there's some things he's got to do a little bit better. He's got to be a little bit better shooter than maybe you've seen, and maybe get a little bit better with the handle. It's the way that the game is going. You got to be more perimeter oriented as a four man. So he's got to get a little bit better. I mean, and a really key piece is, you know, is Jerome Hunter going to be able to play? And that's still a question that's unanswered. I think they get a lot better. If he can play, you know, basically all we know is it's a lower leg condition. And, you know, we've seen, you know, him post videos of things that he's doing. But, you know, the fact that, you know, he can run and jump and everything else doesn't seem to be enough to clear him. So I'm not sure what that condition is, what's holding him back. But it's obviously not something that just because he's capable of using his legs, you know, that doesn't mean it's enough for him to be cleared and be allowed to play. So, you know, we're still waiting on word to find out, you know, is this guy going to be, you know, a legitimate part of the team, part of the roster? Is there going to be any issues with how much he can play? You know, what is he capable of? If he is capable of being everything they hoped he would be, he becomes, a really, really important part, and that adds a lot. If he's able to stretch the floor, able to defend multiple positions, you know, they get a lot better that way. I mean, I think there are guys that are going to make leaps. I think you're going to see Rob Tennessee a lot better, especially just after I think he lost a lot with the concussion last year. That held him back from being, I think, the player he's capable of being. I think you'll see him be a lot more assertive this year, you know, and that should help. But after that, you got some guys that are okay that you hope maybe could get a little bit better, you know, like maybe you get a healthy Deron Davis. Maybe that makes a really big difference. I think Joey Brunk has a chance to be important. But, you know, I think one issue that you have is if you don't have Jerome Hunter and Chase Jackson Davis is just okay, you find yourself looking at Devontae Green for points, and I don't think that's a position you really want to be in. So there's just so many moving parts to this group, and it's really difficult to tell just what they're going to be like. You sort of just wait to see who's all out there and what they actually look like before you even really want to guess as to what this team can do.
Yeah, Dustin, there's no question about it. This is a group that no matter how many preseason things I read, and I know there's a lot of that stuff, that content still forthcoming between now and the first game, no matter what you see at a brief scrimmage at Hoosier Hysteria, no matter what other nuggets might leak out of practice this fall, until you see this team against a number, maybe even a little bit into the season, I'm not sure that we're going to really have a true read on the ceiling for this team, and also some of the newcomers and some of the returners, even exactly what their roles are going to be. It's definitely, no question about it, kind of a moving pieces roster, and a lot of, I'm not sure if I can think of this many unknowns. There's always newcomers. There's always, you know, wondering who the starting lineup's going to be. There's always somebody coming back from an injury, and you wonder what they will be like. Are they ready to go at that level? But this team has so many different situations like that, that I don't know. It's going to be a month into the season until I would really give them a really strong read on what could happen the rest of the way.
Yeah, no, totally. I mean, I think, again, like, there's just so many questions that you have. That there's just nothing necessarily feels solid. I mean, the only guy that I look at and I say, okay, I think that guy's going to be a good player is Fantasy. You know, that is the only guy that I can look at and say, okay, I feel solid believing what he's going to be just because he's steady, you know, as long as he's healthy, basically, as long as he doesn't get dinged up again. But you know, obviously, he's not a guy who's fragile. It's just a freak situation where he got kneed in the head and he got a concussion. So it's not a situation where he's, you know, I mean, that is a sturdy individual in terms of how he's built. It's not like he's going to have knee problems or whatever. I think you'd be able to trust Rob Fantasy. But after that, you know, again, what do you know? If you know you have Jerome Hunter, I think you know, that improves a lot of what you're thinking. But if you don't, then you have to ask a whole bunch of questions. You know, basically, okay, like, what does this team look like? Where does the scoring come from? Where does the shooting come from? You know, and again, how much, you know, I think you're going to get points out of Devontae Green, but you've seen what you've seen good Devontae and bad Devontae. You know, you can see he can be extremely explosive, you know, had the best range out of anybody on last year's team in terms of his ability to shoot the ball, but can hijack an offense. You know, if he's trying to get his and he's not hitting it that day, you know, I mean, he can throw you into a spiral. He can turn the ball over a lot. You know, when he's good, he can be very good. When he's not, he can be a mess. And if you don't have, you know, all the other pieces to spread and distribute the ball around, you know, that can get messy, basically. So if you can't, you know, if you can't rely on a Hunter up there, you know, to be another perimeter scoring option, you find yourself relying, you know, on him more and more. And, you know, in that case, you need a Trayce Jackson-Davis to establish himself as a top-level Big Ten player for you to get through it. And, you know, again, we're talking about a freshman here. I think he's going to be very good. It's a question, how long is that going to take? You know, what is he going to have to get better at before he's ready to be that guy? Again, lots of big questions there. There's only a handful of things that you look at and say that guy's going to be solid. You look at Justin Smith. This is another, you know, huge question mark. I mean, obviously, you saw him go off against Michigan State. You know there's a good player in there someplace. Sometimes you look at him like, what are you doing, man? So it leaves a lot of questions for there. You know, again, kid's amazing. He's like one of the most intelligent guys on the team, but sometimes you're looking out there and you're saying, where are you going, man? What are you doing out there? So it's just a fascinating operation right now in terms of what, you know, who are they going to be, what are they going to look like, what's going to make this team work.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. He covers Indiana, Purdue, and Butler for The Athletic, college basketball. So I want to ask you about Purdue, maybe a thumbnail sketch of what you see for the Boilermakers this upcoming season.
I think they're going to be very interesting in a different way. I think they've got a lot of solid guys. They've got a lot of players that you can look at and say, okay, I trust what you're going to get out of that. The issue is obviously you lose, you know, an extremely explosive scorer in Carson Edwards, and then one of probably the second best shooter in the Big Ten in Ryan Klein. I mean, they lost, you know, that's 47% of their points from last season. So those are two big losses, but I mean, you always have some guys that you know what you're getting out of them. I think Nojel Eastern might be the best defender in the Big Ten this year. Matt Harms has, led the league in block shots. So I think, you look at those two guys as core, and then you sort of build out from there. So the question is, okay, well, where do the points come from? They obviously got a, grad transfer in Jahad Proctor from High Point, who averaged 19.5, but that's in the Big South. I mean, I think, obviously, I think he's going to be able to get some points. Is he going to be able to score? Nobody's going to score at Carson Edwards' level, so you don't have to really think about that. He's not, this guy's not going to go off and, 24, 25 a game, but can you rely on him for maybe 17, 18 average? Is that going to be enough? Is a Brandon Newman going to be able to step up and be a star right away? Is Eric Hunter going to make a leap from what he did last year? I think you saw some flashes from him. Does Aaron Wheeler, now that Grady Eifert's gone, and Wheeler's probably your everyday power forward, what does he do? Matt Painter, I talked to him earlier this summer, and he talked a lot about the possibility of playing Travion Williams and Matt Harms together. So you have two sort of real bigs. What does that look like? I think they'd like Travion Williams to lose some weight so he can maybe play the power forward and be able to defend on the perimeter if he would have to. He'd still have to lose a lot of weight from what he was at last season to do that. So it's about making those pieces. But I think just because you're going to have – it's still going to be a veteran group. There's going to be a lot of guys that, were part of that run last year that know how to win. It's going to be a steady group of players, and I think they're going to be able to defend really well. It's just a question of are they going to be able to get enough points. I think it's an NCAA tournament team for sure in my mind. I think it's got a chance to go somewhere. The question is how high is their ceiling when you don't necessarily have a guy that's established himself as somebody who can really score at the Big Ten level.
Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic with a little bit on Purdue as well as we talk about IU for this upcoming 2019-2020 season. And I want to close with this. This was fun, and I haven't read it yet, so I look forward to it. But you had a chance to catch up with one of the great IU players, both on and off the court. This guy has really made a nice professional career for himself overseas and continues to do some really good stuff in the Bloomington community and even beyond. Jordy Halls, and you had a chance to really do a nice profile with what he's up to now and how his professional career has really come together over the last few seasons.
Yeah, no, it was really fun to talk to him because, he was one of the last stories I did when I left Bloomington the first time was talking to him and catching up with him after his first season in Poland. And, at that point he was engaged and, we were talking about the future and he was just saying, when we have kids, I might have to come back. But catching up with him now, and I sort of brought all that stuff back up to him, in terms of how he thought it was going to go and how it went. And he said, I'm actually playing my best basketball. They've got two boys now. And he said, I'm playing my best basketball because I have kids, and the whole family is living out there during the season now. For a while, his wife was staying back here. Now that they're all out there, he said, I'm less obsessive. Basically, Jordy will always have that reputation for a guy that just lived in the gym and was just taking shots after shots after shots after shots. And he's like, I don't feel like I have to go take 300 reps every single day anymore. When I get my work done and I feel good about my shot, I come home and I spend time with my family. And I feel more relaxed and it's made me a better player. I feel more free and he's more aggressive. If you look at some of, you see some of the highlights. I remember just when he was at Indiana, people would always talk about it, not necessarily passing up open shots, but, he wouldn't really take contested ones. He would keep the ball moving, try to get it in Cody Zeller or Victor Oladipo's hands. He's more willing, more aggressive to go get his own shot, shoot off the dribble, shoot off the screens, pick and rolls, that sort of thing. And he's shooting just at a remarkable clip. He's at, 49% from three last year, was Europe Cup MVP. For that FIBA tournament, and he's, you look at his efficiency numbers, and they're crazy. It is wild how well he's shooting the basketball and doing it, facing more attention than he did, and not just waiting for the wide open three, but, going and getting after his and still knocking down those shots, even if they're, not necessarily the best shot that you can wait for. He's taking shots over guys and knocking them down. So it's impressive, and just he really feels like he's playing his best basketball. It's not a he's not trying to get off this ride as long as it's going as well as it's going. It's been interesting. It was interesting to talk to him about how family and life has sort of affected him as a player and how it's helped, and just in part because he's working less but still more confident and knocking down more shots than he ever has.
Dustin Dopierak, great stuff. Look forward to reading that when you can. Find it at theathletic.com. Dustin, it's great to have you back in Indiana. I know we caught up with you shortly after you were announced as the college basketball writer in the state, but great to have you back on our program. Great to have you back in the state, and I hope to have more of these conversations as the 2019-2020 season draws closer.
great to be back, and happy to be on anytime. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. Dustin Dopierak of The Athletic. Don't forget to check out his Jordy Hull story. I'll be doing the same as soon as the show comes to an end today. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back with Greg Pearson. He's a sports editor of the News and Tribune. He's with me Wednesdays as we talk local sports headlines and what's going on here in Clark and Floyd counties. And, of course, what's going on is high school football is just around the corner. We'll talk about that and more with Craig next on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this and for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment on this Wednesday program is Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, who is always with me in studios Wednesday. We talk local sports headlines in Southern Indiana. And, of course, a lot of what we talk about has either been written about or is something in progress by Craig and the News and Tribune team at newsandtribune.com/sports. We had our 2019 high school football media day last week. You guys were a big part of that. Josh Cook was there with interviews and videos and all sorts of things in addition to our coverage on the radio. And now a lot of that work and those written previews are starting to come out with the season a week and a half away. And I know you've got a lot of additional stories queued up as well. But high school football and high school football preview time, it's here.
Absolutely, Matt. Yeah, it's you know, we're looking forward to that. Yeah, we kicked that off with a Clarksville preview, and you know, Clarksville's a program that's had some success looking back over the years, you know, and some interesting history with, like, I think Steve Cooley had a good year or two there, and you know, Brian Gleesing that was at Jeff and Floyd was there as well and had a winning year or two. And you know, it's a program that you'd like to see, you know, find its way out of its issues right now. It's easy to root for a program that's having some problems, lost 45 straight games. So, you know, you want to see those kids be a great story if they're able to pull it together and have some success. And I think they have some skill guys that are, you know, capable of helping them do that with Davon Fuquay's and great athlete at running back that, you know, I think he could have a big year as a junior. And just, you know, Keyshawn Miner, another great athlete they're going to have at quarterback. So, you know, both those kids, basketball players that had nice years last year. And, you know, it's going to be a matter of, with them, I think their depth and their line and that sort of thing. I think Coach Bozer talked about that in our preview story that, you know, he likes their depth. They gained some good experience in his first year as coach last year. So just interesting story there, and just hope to see how that can play out for the Generals.
Greg Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Interesting there because Coach Bozier, who I enjoyed talking with last week, obviously we don't talk with him all the time about success of the Clarksville program or after a victory because, to be honest, there haven't been any in his one season as the head coach, but he is doing a good job leading that program, and to see them get some positive attention before the season, people look at that losing streak and you think, oh boy, that's, you know, that's not a good situation. But the truth of the matter is things are getting better, and I'll be surprised if we don't see some turnaround and some small steps forward, whether that be one win or two wins this season. I think something like that could very likely come about.
I think it could, you know, and I think, you know, what's interesting is, you know, these kids, they're sophomores or juniors, they don't have much to do with that losing streak, you know, so they it's not like it's weighing on their shoulders necessarily, probably. It'd be interesting to see how some of those kids feel about it, but, you know, I think, you know, they just have to go out and play football, and like Coach Bozier said, they just need to come to work every day to practice, and that's how you're going to end that losing streak. You're not just going to show up on Friday night and have a W handed to you. You're going to earn it, you know, Monday through Thursday, and putting in the hard work there.
Absolutely. And the Clarksville Athletic Program, as a whole has needed some tender, loving care. And I'll tell you what, athletic director Levi Carmichael, former basketball coach, has had success getting very active at all levels of that athletic program. Even the superintendent, you see, Dr. Tina Bennett, at the camp that they had for the girls' basketball youngsters, and I know you were there to cover that as well. It's a high school and an athletic program that we just don't talk about a lot because they've got some challenges, but great to see you guys get out and highlight some of the work they're doing to try to rebuild that thing. And you might even want to talk some about the camp that you covered this over the last couple of days.
Sure, yeah. I mean, Shelby Miller taking over there at the girls' basketball program at, you know, 25-year-old, just a few years out of a great college career at the Division II level, and she's obviously got no head coaching experience at this point, but you know, it's a great situation to get it, I think, because she's excited to, you know, get out there and work with elementary aged kids and middle school aged kids, and that, you know, and Levi Carmichael, yeah, he spoke about that and how that was a priority in all their hires right now, is, you know, building relationships with kids at a younger age. And, you know, because I think Clarksville might have some issues with kids that, you know, might leave and go to a different high school as they get older and that sort of thing. So they may lose some decent athletes to that. So they need to have those relationships with coaches that are in place, and you know, I think they're going about it the right way. And yeah, it was very cool to see the superintendent Tina Bennett there and get to meet her. She's a former Indiana All-Star at Austin in 1985, and just that sports are important to a school and to the culture of the school and to people having pride in the community and stuff like that. So yeah, it would be great to see, you know, these all these people putting in this work and to see Clarksville, you know, put together some quality programs that we can certainly continue to feature and that sort of thing. So looking forward to seeing what they can do.
High school football week one, a week and a half away. I'm not sure there's a bigger matchup locally than Charlestown and Silver Creek. Two programs that know an awful lot about each other. They're right down 403 from each other. Charlestown obviously has some key returning players like Marion Lukes and others that will lead the way in that game. And Silver Creek trying to replace some of its key losses from last year. But still, that is a great rivalry game to open the season. It's a conference game as well. It sets the tone in many ways for what could happen in weeks two and three and beyond for those teams, and that is going to be, as far as fan turnout, with New Albany Providence no longer on the docket, at least this season, that's going to be the big opportunity for a huge fan turnout to start the high school football season.
Right. I mean, it's, you know, basically 2 weeks away, you know, almost 2 weeks away, and there's already a buzz about the game on Twitter and stuff like that. I've noticed, and T-shirts are being sold and everything else. So yeah, it's certainly something that we'll look forward to covering and previewing and everything else. Like you said, Charlestown, just very interesting team with a guy that like Luke's that's switching back to quarterback, and how's that going to work, and how's the, you know, is he going to throw the ball a little bit, is he going to, you know, how's the running game going to work with him, you know, taking the ball from center and that sort of thing. So very exciting to see what that program is going to look like there, and Silver Creek with a new first year coach but an experienced football coach. So, you know, they're going to be a solid football team, I got a feeling. So looking forward to more about them. And, yeah, we'll have both those teams previewed here in the next 3 or 4 days. And so make sure and check out those and then the paper here coming up.
Absolutely. Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Trey Coleman of Jeffersonville added another Division I scholarship offer. Monmouth, his latest Division I offer. His list continues to grow. Of course, he's entering his senior year now, so it'll be curious to see ultimately how he goes about the recruiting process and if he narrows his list a bit before making a decision, or if he just makes a decision straight up on where he's going to go. But he's got a lot of suitors to choose from. It will be interesting to see if anybody else gets involved, and it will be interesting to see ultimately where he ends up and how it all plays out.
You know, yeah, I haven't had a chance to talk with Trey here lately to see if he's, you know, if he's the type of guy that's going to, you know, look to make that decision and announcement before the season, or if he wants to, you know, kind of see what kind of year he can have and get some more attention. And maybe, like you said, maybe who knows who else might get involved at this point. So, because, yeah, obviously mostly a lot of quality mid-major programs for the most part. And but not that there's anything wrong with playing mid-major basketball. You know, that could be a great place for him to have an outstanding career. And, anyway, yeah, looking ahead to basketball, man, Jeffersonville with three kids getting D1 scholarship offers. And I think I saw Darren Starks was the fourth that's got a offer from IUS. And, you know, that's heck of a team they've got with some depth. And, man, it's going to be hard to imagine them not being ranked what top two or three teams in the state to start the year.
Absolutely. Jeffersonville, one of many high school basketball storylines that we can already get excited about. Of course, can't get too far ahead of ourselves. The high school football season is what's set to start next. But Jeffersonville and Silver Creek, with the talent they have and as a team, what they should be able to put together again next season. And Jake Heidbreeder at Floyd Central had a great summer. New Albany, obviously, has Julian Hunter and some other key returners that are going to try to figure out a way to have success again this season. And there are other things to watch. Some new coaches in the basketball spectrum as well. Going to be another fun winter once we get through some of the fall activities.
Absolutely. You know, yeah, and looking forward to yeah, like you said, it's football season, and look forward to getting out on Friday nights and seeing some programs try to make some strides down here in Southern Indiana. And you know, I think there's some chance to do that. And I look forward to heck, I'm going to be working on volleyball here these next couple of days and putting together learning more about all of our programs here. Obviously, we have some great programs, and you know, look forward to covering them and getting some great photos and whatever else in the paper on all those programs. And, you know, we'll also have soccer and cross-country stories and boys tennis coming up here in the next week. So make sure and check those out as well.
Craig Pearson, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he's with us Wednesdays as we talk local sports headlines. Craig, great to catch up. I thought Media Day for football a success, and we'll talk about some future sports. Great to see all those coaches and players together under one roof. Thanks for being with me today.
My pleasure. Yeah, I look forward to doing that as well.
That's going
to
wrap things up for this Wednesday edition of the program. We are back with you on Thursday at 11 a.m. Alex Bozich of Inside the Hall will join us Thursdays as normal. We'll have some other guests as well. So make sure you check us out 11 o'clock tomorrow here on the Big X. Have a great Wednesday. The podcast available on SoundCloud and Apple Podcasts. You can point your browser directly to soundcloud.com/Hoosier Report. And I'll talk with you tomorrow at 11 o'clock here on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.